Well, welcome tonight. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Some of you all are saying, preacher, you got me out here on a Wednesday night. This better be good. And I really do think it's going to be a good time. It's refreshing just to be able to sing God's word together on a Wednesday night. And I know that it's the middle of summer and we've got a lot of things going on. But we wanted to get together with as many of our ministry leaders as we could possibly get with. And just share with them, open God's word together with them, and talk tonight just about how it is that God calls us to serve out of a spirit-filled capacity. And I don't know about you guys, but I need that. I really need that in my life. And as we are about to embark on a new fall semester here beginning the 24th of August, and we crank up Awana fresh and new, and we have adult Bible study classes going on. We have student ministry going on and praise team and praise band and family night supper. And then we got Sunday mornings and Adventure Island and greeter ministry and stewardship making decisions and trustees meeting and all of those different things that will be going on over the next year, church year. It's really, really important for us to approach that with the proper task. To approach that task with the proper mindset. And so I want to do a disclaimer right now. Brian, I've told him if I just start talking and mumbling out of my head, I've drank like 3/4 of a bottle of Waflu, and because I've had these allergies or something all day, I've just been draining out. And I do think it has some alcohol in it. And so if I get to staggering or stumbling around like I'm a little drunk, it could be that I am. And so I just told Vic, I said, you just come and tag and say, you are out of your mind. And he can fill in the rest of these blanks with you. But so we're excited for you guys to be here tonight. Let me give you just a little glimpse and preview of where we're going the next few Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings and why I've asked you to come here tonight. One reason we've asked as many leaders to come as possible and be here is because since we are not doing Sunday night worship, and the trend is most churches have gone away. A matter of fact, when we quit doing Sunday night church services, we were one of 5% of churches in America that still had Sunday night services. So there's a badge of honor, I guess, in there. We could say we hung out until the last 5%. Or we can say, oh me, we just gave up the ghost. We just caved to pressure and gave up the ghost there. But what we found is this. It was increasingly hard to get people here. Normally, Sunday nights were sort of a poor performance of Sunday mornings. And so to say all that, I realized that we cannot equip all of our church family. So over a month's period of time, there will be 500 different people that come in the building. Over a month's period of time. If they were all here on one Sunday, we'd probably have 500 and something people here. And so here's what I know and what our church council is convinced of, our staff is, we can equip everybody and lead everybody appropriately in just 1 hour of life group and 1 hour of Sunday morning worship. It takes more than that to do that. And so that's why we are just ramping up Wednesday nights. And we want to kick off Wednesday nights in a really, really good way. And if you say, preacher, am I hearing you say that we need to be here on Sunday mornings and make Wednesday nights a priority? We really do, just so that one great thing that happens when we come together as the body of Christ is that we're encouraged. We remember we're not in this journey alone. So if you're going through a dry season of your life, your prayer life doesn't seem to be going anywhere, seems like the Lord is hiding himself from you, or that there's some unconfessed sin in your life and you're just not getting through to the Lord, going from one Sunday to the next can seem like an eternity. And there can be some real traps and pitfalls in there. So it's really important for us to come together as a faith family on Wednesday nights, whether we're taking in or whether we're giving out, whether we're growing and receiving or whether we're serving and giving. It's really important for us to be able to come together to remember we're not alone, to remember Jesus is worthy of our worship, not just on Sunday mornings at 9:45, but he's worthy of our worship every day of the week, right? And so we're able to be encouraged in that. And there's a second reason. You know, having a renovated building is good, but we're only halfway through. So all of our small group space and fellowship space is in phase two. And so we're not able to come together as much as we were on Wednesdays and one big family night supper. And is that what we call them, family night supper? Family night supper. And so we're divided up a little bit more. And so it's just really important that we try to make the most of our time together on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And you all are a great, great part of that. And the reason we gave you these ministry guides is we want you to sort of have a scope and idea of how many different people serve in different capacities here at Calvary. And so there are a few over 100 different names in this guide of people who are just serving. Some don't meet very much, just three or four times a year. Some meet every week. Some meet pretty much ongoing, month to month. And so we want you to know that you're part of a bigger story. So if you're here and you're serving as church council or a deacon or a teacher, you're part of a bigger story. If you're here serving as stewardship or Adventure Island or Awana, a student ministry, you're part of a bigger story. If you're here and you see to some senior adults, you're here and you're part of a much bigger story. And what can happen if we don't have times like this and if we don't talk about that from the pulpit on Sunday mornings, what can happen is we think we're just sort of out there doing our own thing and nobody recognizes what we're doing. And if you're in a job where maybe you're changing diapers and you're thinking to yourself, those kids don't care. They'll never remember if I changed a diaper or not. You can almost sometimes, if you're not careful, begin to think, what am I doing? I'm just serving all this time at the church, and it's just, I'm going nowhere with that. And I want to really rebut that strongly tonight and remind you that what you do in the name of Jesus with a heart that's inclined and yielded to Him in the body of Christ, it really makes a difference, and it really, really matters. And so I want to, tonight is, if you came thinking this is a how-do training time, it's not. Tonight is, there's some how to, but it's how to keep your heart hot and inclined and moving toward the Lord. Because here's what I know about service that I've learned since 1987. If you don't keep a hot heart for Christ, if you're not pursuing Him, pushing through those hard times and difficult times, sometimes not pushing or pursuing, just sitting and waiting and trusting in faith, If you don't do that, your service can become mundane. It can be motivated by the flesh or obligation. It can be prompted by a sense of, I owe it, right? I owe it to the Lord for what He's done. And none of that is actually good reasons for serving the Lord. The best reason, right, for serving the Lord is that Jesus has forgiven us of our sin. He's come into our heart and life, and He's worthy of our worship, and part of our worship involves service. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You're going to hear us say thank you tonight in a lot of different forms. And on behalf of our staff and our church council guys, our leadership team, I want to say thank you to every one of you who serve. If you're in We Worship and you think, nobody knows me, I'm in We Worship. If you're tucked away with Brian and Jenny and AI on Sunday mornings and you've not seen an adult worship service in some time, we know you are there and serving. We talk about you a lot, pray about you a lot. If you are on stewardship and you think, man, nobody even cares that I'm on stewardship, we do care, we do know, and we know when you're serving and how you're serving. And we're really grateful, but more than that, God is really grateful for your service. Because every time that we serve in His name, He is honored and exalted and lifted up. And so we've given you a couple handouts tonight, the ministry report, to let you know what's coming the next couple of weeks. Next Wednesday night's going to be hands-on. Questions will be answered. Tasks will be gone over. The playbook will be handed out. So if you're in Awana or student ministry, you guys will come next week. Children will have off, and so there won't be children's activities next week. Awana kids don't start, just Awana volunteers will start with Brian and Karen, and then Chris will have his student volunteers together. And if I can do something with church council, we'll have our adult teachers for the fall semester together working with them. as well. And so that's next week. The following week, which would be the 17th, so next Wednesday's the 10th, the 17th, the Martins, who just led worship at Center Kid, they're going to be here leading us in kids, teenage and adult worship. And we're going to have a worship rally similar to this right here. We're going to have some food booths outside, and we're going to have Awana registration, student registration, adult registration. People will be able to pick up their books or start zones or whatever it is that they need. I think student ministry will be passing out T-shirts to the students on that night. And so we want to register as many people as we can on Wednesday nights. If you say, "Preacher, are Wednesday nights good here? Are they not good?" On any given Wednesday night, if it's good weather and flu bugs not hit us, or it's not beta club time and everybody's gone somewhere, we normally will have around 210, 15 people here. We have had in times past as many as 230 or 40 people here on a Wednesday night. And so that's a big deal. There's a ton of churches. If I was with my Liberty Association pastors and I just told them what I just told you, a bunch of them would say, "We don't have that many over a month's period of time on Sunday morning." Right? They have 30 or 40 or 25 people. And so what the Lord is doing in our midst is a very, very good thing. And more than anything tonight, I want you to hear us say thank you. I want you to hear us say your service to the Lord is valuable. Don't take it for granted. And then we want you to know that the ministry that is occurring is real, real ministry. And we're going to try to make sure you have a real good, vivid glimpse of that before you leave tonight. And so, Awana teachers, here's what I know about you. Awana folks that are serving, leaders, listeners, all the people that it takes, game time people. Here's what I know about you, Awana folks. You're going to hear it starting next Sunday about all these classes that are being offered for people that are not serving in Awana, or they're not in the praise team or praise band. You're going to say, "Good night, I wish I was a part of those classes. What have I done signing up for Awana?" And so you're thinking, I'm not making a difference, but you really, really are making a difference. Normally, we have somewhere around 100 or so in Awana. Is that right, Pick? Around 100? Is that counting adults or just kids? Just kids, around 100 in Awana on Wednesday nights. That's 100 kids that are memorizing and learning God's Word. Man, I don't know about you all, but I'm excited about that. And here's why I'm excited. God's Word will never return void, right? And so God's taking His Word and hiding it in kids' heart, and He's going to bring that to their memory and to their conscience. And so I get excited about that. I get excited when my boys come home and they'll say, "Man, we had 54 kids there tonight. With adults, we had 60-something, and Chris taught on this." And they're just so excited. And our student ministry's getting a real shot in the arm because the Lord's brought Josh to us. He's going to start leading our students in worship. So we've had to do in the past. Chris is not a musician, and so he's led the students off of just video-driven stuff. And so our kids are going to have live worship, and Josh is going to work with our teenagers putting together a live band. And so we're excited for I think of kids like Nate or Jacob. Jacob, he likes to sing. He'd tell everybody he doesn't like to sing, but he really does have a good voice, and he likes to sing. He's going to have an opportunity to do that now. I think of people like Nate Clifford. That kid probably can play anything, right? He could play this, whatever this thing is here. He could play it, and he's just gifted, and I'm thinking kids like that can have a real opportunity to take giftedness and use it for the glory of the Lord as they lead in worship. That's just really, really an exciting, exciting time. And so that's sort of where we're heading. The 24th is the first night. That's when we go live with classes for students and children and for adults. And it's just going to be a neat time, and I'll tell you more about that. You're going to have a brochure that Brian's working on, that it's going to lay out all that information on Wednesday nights. You can hand them out to people and invite them to come and be a part of it, and it's going to be a good, good time. But for the sake of right now, I want you guys to hear me say, to God be the glory for Christ not only saving you, but giving you the willingness to be here on a Wednesday night to hear and to be able to serve. And so our deacons will be announcing them here in the next couple of Sundays, just waiting to hear from one family. And so once we hear from them, we'll be able to reveal those names and move forward in that. You deacons that check on folks and haul them to the doctor and pray with them when they're sick and listen to them when they just need someone to listen to. That's unbelievable ministry, right? You teachers that are opening the word, you greeters and parking lot attendants, and you cooks and musicians. Who am I leaving out? That's the problem when you go to naming people. You VBS workers, can I get an amen? What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. The AV people back there that run lights and the projector and the soundboard. It's just all of that makes a huge difference. And I want you to hear that we can't do that without you. And so just imagine Justin and Brian and Chris on this video. Don't see these three guys' faces, but just put Chris and Brian and Justin up there, or worse yet, put me and Justin and Brian or Chris up there on this video. This is a video that I found yesterday, and I thought they need to see this. How many of you remember the Bee Gees? Will you raise your hand? How many of you remember 1977, John Travolta in his white leisure suit doing Staying Alive? How many of you remember that? David Billingsley, did you dance? Did you disco dance back in those days? And so I want you to watch this funny way for us to be able to say thank you for serving. Will you guys hit that back there? Well, when I saw that, I thought that's a great way to tell y'all thank you. That had to be a student minister, a kids pastor, and a music guy. That's all that those guys had to be for sure. But a group of 90-year-olds, take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4, and then I'm going to start working through our handout tonight and talking about how we, what are the marks of a spirit-filled believer? What are the marks of a spirit-filled service? How can we serve this next church year and serve without being burned out? How can we serve with real purpose and passion, understanding who God is and how our service is important? And we're going to work our way through Ephesians 4 tonight, those 16 verses, so you can be turning there. But recently, a group of 90-year-old senior adults were asked this question. If you could live your life over again, what would you do differently? What would you do differently? And here were their top three answers. First of all, they said, I would reflect more on God's favor. They would take time to reflect more on God's favor. And as they elaborated on their answers, they said, we did not take time, do you remember the old phrase, to smell the roses along the way. They didn't celebrate enough. Are any of y'all like that? I'm the world's worst at that. We just had a great Bible school, and instead of celebrating Bible school, I'm on to Wednesday nights, right? I'm on to God's great day. And we really just need to make sure that we're taking time to be grateful to God and to reflect and say, Lord, thank you for what you have done and what you are doing. And so those 90-year-old senior adults said they would reflect more on God's favor. Here's the second thing they said. They said they would risk more in their faith or for their faith and for their family. These 90-year-olds, as they were being interviewed by what's Rainer's right-hand man, he just left Lifeway, Ed Stetzer. As Stetzer's asking these 90-year-olds, what is it that you would do differently? They said they would risk more coming to their faith. Now listen to this, especially if you're a senior adult or you're an emerging senior. Several of those 90-year-olds said, we always thought overseas missions were for younger people and not for us. And now I'm at a place where I can't travel. I'm not well enough to travel. And I wish I would have traveled. And I thought to myself, my land, our senior adults need to hear that. Our folks that have life and vitality need to hear that now, that they said they would risk more concerning their faith and their family. Here's what they said. They said they under-challenge their kids. Not just in the area of missions, but just being sold out to Christ. Several of those 90-year-olds thought, listen to what they said. They said, we thought, and we lived a vast majority of our adult life thinking bringing our children to church was enough. And they said, now in our later years, we realized that it just wasn't enough, right? Making sure our kids were connected to Christ was most important. So they said they would risk more in their faith and family. And then they told Stetzer that they would do more things that would live on after they died. Some of them were very honest. One lady had tears in her eyes and said, I'm really fearful that when I die, I've not done anything that's really going to last for all of eternity. And so Scripture talks to us about that, right? We have it in our handout tonight, just Matthew 6, about laying up, storing up for ourselves, not treasures here on earth, but treasures in heaven. And one of those ladies said, you know what, I really wish that I would have just done more, more things that would live on after I die. Leonardo da Vinci said this. He said, shun those pursuits in which the work that results from those pursuits dies with the worker. So da Vinci was saying, you know what, there's a lot of things we can put our hands to that when we die, it's going to die with us. It's going to the grave with us, right? But those things that have real value are really times that we invest in others and we invest in people and we're taking eternal truth and making those kind of deposits in folks. And so listen to this poem. I love it. You can read along with me. Why God Put Me Here. See if this resonates with you. I don't know how to say it, but somehow it seems to be that maybe we are stationed where God wanted us to be. That little place I'm filling is the reason for my birth, and just to do the work I do, he put me on this earth. If God had wanted otherwise, I reckon he'd have made me just a little different, of a worse or better grade. And since God knows and understands all things of land and sea, I fancy that he placed me here just where he wanted me. Sometimes I get to thinking as my labors I review that I should like a higher price or a higher place with a greater task to do. But I come to the conclusion when envying is stilled that the post to which God sent me is the post he wanted filled. So I plod along and struggle in the hope when day is through that I'm really necessary to the things that God wants to do. And there isn't any service I can give which I should scorn, for it may be just the reason God allowed me to be born. If you're here tonight and you think, I'm insignificant, I wish I was doing other things, I wish I had other people's giftedness, maybe you covet just in singing on Sunday mornings and like me think, man, I wish I could sing like that. Or maybe you're here and you're thinking, I wish I could do this or I wish I could do that. Or maybe you sit there and you think, what I do and who I am really doesn't matter. And I want you to know that's not true. Is God Lord of all? If he is, say amen. And because he's Lord of all, he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're doing. He knows exactly how you're serving and what you're doing, what he's doing in you. And he takes joy and he takes pleasure in that. A.W. Tozer said, life is a place of service. Real joy is when we recognize that our life is to be spent in serving others. It is only then that we have a cause that is greater than ourselves. The man who keeps busy serving the man below him won't have time to envy the man above him. Henrietta Mears. That's a great statement. The person who keeps busy serving the man below him won't have time to envy the man above him. Henrietta Mears. In the kingdom of God, service is not a stepping stone to nobility. It is nobility. The only kind of nobility that is really recognized. What you do in the name of Christ for his kingdom, for his church, for his people, and for people who do not know him, it makes a difference. Thomas Watson said, a musician is not recommended for playing long, but for playing well. It is obeying God willingly that it's accepted. The Lord hates that which is forced. It is rather a tax than an offering. Cain served God grudgingly. He brought his sacrifice, not his heart. And then Watson went on to say, good duties must not be pressed and beaten out of us as the waters come out of the rock when Moses smote it with his rod, but they must freely drop from us as myrrh from the tree or honey from the comb. The idea of spirit-filled service, serving the Lord with an overflow of your heart. Now, this is not in your handout tonight, but I want to make sure I hit it right here, right now, so you can write it down somewhere on your paper. Spirit-filled servants are taking in as much as they're giving out. If you're going to last this church year and your service be a joy and be a real honor to the Lord, you have to be taking in. Read your Bible. I don't care how you get it. If you say, I don't read, I sit down, I go to read my Bible, I fall asleep. Well, get a Bible on cassette or get it on, not cassette, Pig's laughing at me. Get it on a, what in the world? Get it on an MP3 player. What is it? Get it on your phone, a podcast, and any of those fancy new technologies. Get it on that and listen to it. You want to hear a real blessing? If you want to hear a blessing, say amen. Miss Marie can't see, so she can't read her word. But man, she listens to every sermon. She has Bible on cassette. She throws that thing in, or maybe it's not cassette, it's DVD. And she throws it in and she listens as scripture is read. My encouragement to you guys is this. It doesn't matter what you do. You may say, well, if I'm a deacon, I need to read. If I'm a teacher and I'm going to be teaching, I need to read and taking in. If I'm giving out teaching, I must be taking in. If you're giving out in any way, you need to be taking in, right? So here's a great example. Stewardship team, you're in the middle of the crux. Things are tight. You just got some sort of huge bill in your personal life. And about that time, me or Brian asked for $15,000 to feed the football teams or me and Chris do or whoever, we asked for $15,000 to feed the football teams and to make a difference in the lives of those cheerleaders here at Marion County in Glasgow. And you've just had some bad news. You've not been taking in and you've not been giving and your heart is betraying you. You get that request and you've not been taking in. Do you think you're going to have a biblical perspective on that? You're going to say, no, we ain't spending no money, right? If you're a teacher and you got to give out but you've not taken in, your heart's going to betray you, right? And your teaching won't be, the word is incarnational. It won't be in you to where you can actually deliver it in a way that is energized by the Holy Spirit. If that makes sense, raise your hand like that. All of us have been there, right? If you say, preacher, you've not been there. You don't know what it's like. You're a pastor and you don't know what it's like. Hey, there's been some Sundays that I've thought, Lord, where are you? I just wanted to quit. I mean, at like probably Justin gets me up 10:15, 10:30, I thought, psh, I just need to sit down. God's not within 20 miles of this message, right? And you say, preacher, well, that's terrible. We need a new pastor. He's going to be the same way. He just won't own up to it, okay? I've known you long enough. I'll just own it and say, yeah, that's us. All of us know what it's like to have seasons where we just are pushing through, right? We're just trying to survive to get through. And so I want to encourage you and say, be sure you're taking in. Whether it's little or whether it's much, the quantity is not nearly as much as the quality of just feasting on the Lord. And so let's fill in some blanks here tonight, work our way through Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Service in the body of Christ that is modeled by Jesus, established by His Word and in His Word, and energized by the Holy Spirit is characterized by unity. It's characterized by unity. Listen to these first six verses of Ephesians 4. Paul writes and he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And he says, walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Spirit-filled servants are better together. Spirit-filled service is characterized by great unity. And unity is much more in Scripture than just agreement. It's much more than agreement. We hear the word unity and we move to divisiveness or division. And we think, okay, unity is when we're getting along and we're just not divided. Unity carries with it in Scripture a much heavier meaning than that. And the idea is that as Spirit-filled servants, we understand that we're better together and that God calls us to have a oneness in behavior and in virtue. So A, your fill in the blank is we must have a oneness in behavior and virtue. What does that mean? That means that we're not just all here serving on a Sunday or a Wednesday or out somewhere in the community doing it another day or night of the week, but that we come together and we have all been saved by the same Lord. We've all been marked by the same Spirit. We've all been sealed, and that God wants to use us and to be a faithful and consistent witness of His grace to others in our community and in the way that we serve one another at church. And so we must have this oneness in behavior and virtue. Here's what he says in verse 1. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. So he says, walk worthy of our calling. That means he saved you and he set you apart. He's sanctifying you. You're set apart, and you're set apart for good works. And he's saying, let me work out of you. I'm wanting to work out of you. And he's saying, yield to me and let me work out of you. And then in verse 2, he says, serve in humility, gentleness, patience, and love. Don't let your service be prideful or boastful. Don't let your service be rough or harsh. Don't let your service be impatient and hurried. Oh, I got to get here. I got to get home. Don't let your service be with a heart that is bitter, but a heart full of love. Here's what I know about that, guys. Man, that means that there has to be some preparation before we come to serve the Lord if we're going to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, and that means that we're going to walk in humility, gentleness, patience, and love. Can I just share with you guys? By Thursday, when I leave here, a lot of those Thursdays, man, I'm at wit's end. And so it takes Friday for me to just have time alone with the Lord, to be in His Word, to hammer out outlines and make sure I'm rightly dividing the Word for that week, make sure that I'm not aiming a sermon at somebody. Saturdays, Tracy will tell you, I hate when we just fill Saturdays up from Saturday morning to Saturday night, because I know that if I run all week, I run on Friday, I run on Saturday, I know chances are when I come to worship the Lord on Sunday, I'm going to be on empty. And so spiritually, I may be in a neutral place, I may be in a good place, but physically, I could be incredibly tired. And so I'm saying that we come together with this great sense of unity and this oneness in behavior and virtue. And in order to do that, we just have to have a little time alone with the Lord to where we're saying, Lord, I need you to make me more like Jesus. The number of times I will be mowing a yard and or I will be washing a vehicle and I'll be humming a little song, Jesus be Jesus in me, no longer me but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus be Jesus in me. And you say, well, why are you singing that song, preacher? Because it's really the prayer of my heart. Lord, I need to decrease. You need to increase in me. And so for that to happen, Jesus, I need you in my heart. I know y'all have done it. You've done it parenting children and babysitting grandchildren. You've done it in your work when things have been contentious. How many of you would say, preacher, I've been right there, been there and done that. Will you raise your hand? And here's what I'm saying. When we come to serve the Lord, we have to have that time to where we've been able to say, Lord, work in me, refresh me, renew me. And then eagerly displaying the Spirit. Verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. God wants to work out of us and display His Spirit, His charisma. He wants to display His character in and through us. So Paul's saying to Timothy and those believers at Ephesus, we need to have this oneness in behavior and virtue. But we also need to have a oneness in belief and vision. In belief and vision. Verses 4 through 6. He says we need to value the church and the Holy Spirit's work in the body. He says there is one body. And he says there is one Spirit. And when Paul refers to the body here in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians, the body of Christ, he's talking about the local church. He's not talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about the church universal. He's talking about the local display of the body of Christ. And so it's the church at Calvary. It's the church at Emmanuel, the church at Glasgow Baptist, the church at Bukit Inda, the church in China. It's the church wherever they're meeting, right? The church at Thessalonica, at Colossae. It is that local body of believers that Paul has in mind here. And he says, if we're going to have a oneness in belief and vision, he said, we really need to value the church and the Holy Spirit's work in it. I really want you guys to hear this. I thank God for whatever reason that early on in my discipleship, God gave me a love for not only the groom, Christ, but he gave me a love for the bride, the church. And I can tell you when it was a watershed moment for me. I was at Roswell Street Baptist Church. We had been in a pastor's conference, and I heard a preacher preach on the glory of the bride and why we should work diligently at presenting ourselves before the Lord. And he was using that scripture where he is talking about how the bride is weaving for herself a wedding garment to present to the Lord. And I can remember hearing that. It was a Friday night. It was one of the keynote addresses. And I can remember confessing and saying, God, I've just not recognized the church in that way, right? I just, at that time, I would have been not looking at Gerald and Karen and thinking, they're part of the bride, right? I wouldn't have been looking at Jenny and Brian and saying, they're part of the bride. This is the family of God. I would have looked at church like this. Well, there's church, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. There's church. But I wouldn't have viewed it as deeply as the Lord views it. If you say, preacher, are you saying that God calls us to love Jesus? Yep. Does he call us to love his church? Yes, he really, really does. And so we need to value the church, the Holy Spirit's work in it. Verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Paul's saying to Timothy, we should value the gospel and Jesus' offer of salvation. So if spirit-filled servants are better together and we're characterized by unity, our spirit is our service, and our spirit-filled service is going to be marked and energized by what we believe and if we're seeing the big picture or not. If we're seeing how God is working in the totality of what he's doing, and more so than just our lives. And in order to do that, we need to value the gospel and Jesus offers salvation. One Lord, can I get an amen? There's one faith. There's one way to be right with this one Lord. And he says, there's one way that you let that rightness of heart be known, and that is one baptism, an initiation into the New Testament church. And so we value the gospel and Jesus' offer of salvation. I really want to encourage you guys. If you're up here singing and you got somebody looking back at you, and I'm shooting with a shotgun tonight, right? I'm trying to hit as many different people who serve in different ways. But if you're up here and you're on the praise team and you're singing, and it's a Sunday morning, and man, that song ministered on Wednesday night when y'all practiced, and y'all been thinking to yourself from Wednesday to Sunday, it's going to be good, and y'all get up there, and it's like Jesus is not within 10 miles of this place, and you got some people standing back there like this, you know, or they're sitting down, or you got Jimmy Mannion doing that right there, and he's about to, he doesn't do it during, he only does that during preaching, not during singing. He really loves to sing. And so if you're looking out on that, and you're just thinking to yourself, this doesn't matter at all. We might as well just, we're wasting our time. We might as well just pack up shop and go home. And I just want to say, God forbid that thought. Let me give you a good phrase to write down. It's not on your notes, but write it down. You are serving, first and foremost, an audience of one. John Piper has a book that talks about preaching and just about how preaching is an act of worship from the pastor to the Lord, and God takes it and all the byproducts of it and does neat things with it. That revolutionized, that freed me up. When I was at Siloam, I was counting heads. Is it too hot in here? Is it too cold in here? What was David Martin going to sing that day? Was the organist and pianist with him? Were all my Sunday school teachers there, my nursery workers? Do I have any guests here? And I can remember reading that book, The Supremacy of Christ in preaching, the supremacy of God in preaching. And I can remember thinking to myself, I'm never going to go up there and sit on stage again. I'm not going to do it. If y'all say, why do you sit down here and not go, how come we don't have them big preacher chairs up there? I really have to think what I'm doing first and foremost is an offering to the Lord. And what he makes of it is something else. So what you guys do when you're thinking, I'm keeping, give me somebody that's got kids. I'm keeping April Flynn's future kids, right? She's going to have 12 of them. And I'm keeping April Flynn's future kids. I can't believe she's bringing all 12 of them to the nursery at one time. And you're thinking to yourself, does that matter? And I'm here to tell you, you're doing more than that. Could it be that you're keeping one of God's children? Could it be Spirit-filled servants are grateful? Service in the body of Christ that's energized by the Holy Spirit is not just characterized by unity, but it's characterized by diversity. We should be grateful for this wonderful Jesus, this Savior who gives gifts unto us. He says it this way, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. He gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might, watch this, that he might fill all things. Our diversity should be recognized in the way that we are grateful for this diverse Savior who comes to us. And he gives us gifts according to his very character and nature. And he gives us a different number of gifts, a different amount of gifts, and different kinds of gifts. We serve according to Christ's gift to us. And it is out of his abundance that we serve others. Every one of you, when you were born again, God not only gave you Christ and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, but he came with gifts. And some of you are gifted in different ways. Some of you are prophets. I was with a prophet the other day, and man, she was throwing down truth. And she was just a prophet. She's gifted in that. I see it clearly in her. Some people are gifted in mercy. Some are gifted in administration. Some are gifted in giving. Some are gifted in teaching. Some are gifted in prophecy. But God gives us spiritual gifts, and he wants us to use them. But he also wants to celebrate how diverse they are. Now, watch this. The diversity of the giftedness that is in this room is a real picture of the diversity and the greatness of God. Aren't you grateful that God's greater than Randy Shaw? If you're glad of that, say amen. Aren't you glad that God is greater than Barney Fife? Right? That he's greater than Ricky Martin? That he's more diverse than Steve Coulter? Right? God is this great, huge God, and we best resemble him when we're all exercising our diversity and giftedness. And so here's a wonderful thing that brings great liberty, and it's this idea. We have great liberty in that people don't have to be like us. That the kingdom of heaven, the body of Christ, the diversity of Christ's character is large enough that we can all be different and that can be all right. We serve according to the spiritual gifts he's given us. We serve recognizing the diversity in the body of Christ. Therefore, we respond to others with a great measure of grace and liberty, right? Mike doesn't have to serve like me. Jenny doesn't have to serve like Tracy. Tracy doesn't have to serve like Sharon. Sharon doesn't have to serve like Michelle. God's made us all uniquely different, gifted us in different ways, and as long as we are pursuing him and serving him, that is a great thing. Can I get an amen? And so celebrate that diversity in your unique giftedness that God has given you. If you say, preacher, I don't know where I'm spiritually gifted at, you need to take about an hour one day and come by the office, let Brian and I give you spiritual gift inventory, talk through you. With that, take you through Romans 12, take you through 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, 14, and then go home and take that inventory and pray over it. It'll help you understand, oh, here's how God's gifted me and made me. And then we want to be grateful for the diversity of this giving Savior, but we want to be grateful for gifted saints. The Lord gave us apostle, so be, to be is saints. Be grateful for gifted saints. The Lord gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, and he gave them to us, in verse 11, to guide, grow, guard the family of God. We are grateful to God for you. Be grateful for each other. Be grateful for that person that's serving alongside of you. You may say, I want to give the kids goldfish, and they are married to them stinking animal crackers. Them kids spit them animal crackers out. And really, the truth of the matter is, you grew up liking goldfish and you didn't like animal crackers, so you think every kid in the world needs goldfish. Here's what I want you to do. Celebrate that diversity and say, you know what? Some of them kids will eat goldfish and some of them are going to eat animal crackers, right? Some of the teenagers are going to like Tripoli and some of the teenagers are going to like, well, none of them are going to like Bill and Gloria Gaither. They're going to like, is it Newsboys? Lecrae. Celebrate that diversity of giftedness. Celebrate who God allows you to serve with. Celebrate that in a great, great way. And here's why. The idea that God's paired you together with somebody or has you working alongside somebody or married to a certain somebody means that God is going to bring something out of that that's going to bring him a lot of glory. And so not only rejoice in this great Savior, but rejoice in the great diversity of God's people and God's gifts. We couldn't do church the way we do church, and we couldn't do missions and ministry the way we do mission and ministry if God wasn't using you all. And so, Wes, can you throw that video up, that second video? I want you to watch this. It's about 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. And capture the message in this video. Will you do that? There's so much truth in that statement. We serve because God first served us, right? Because he came to serve. And that we couldn't serve the church without first being the church. And we want you to hear that message loud and clearly tonight. We want to, as Spirit-filled servants, be grateful for the diversity that really characterizes not only God's Spirit-filled service, but Christ our Lord and Savior. And then number three, I need to hustle, and so y'all going to have to write faster. Spirit-filled service is characterized by ministry. Listen to what he says. He says in verse 12, to equip the saints, so he gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. What is our responsibility as those who worship God by serving Christ in his church? And he tells us in verse 12 to be equipped. A matter of fact, that's one of my primary responsibilities, is to equip you guys for the work of ministry, to be able to remind you and to lead you and to be an example to you of what Spirit-filled service really looks like. And so he calls us, A, to be equipped, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. You're doing that by being here tonight. We hope that if there's a need in your life, I had someone say to me last week, I really need to know when I can go ahead and move forward in the gospel, and I don't know really how to bridge that gap to get there. And they were sort of condemning themselves and said, I feel bad, I feel like I blew it, and I missed it. And I said, well, I'm the one that feels bad, because I should already have you equipped to that point to where you know, oh, if I'm right here and I've got somebody in front of me that's a captive audience and they're listening, that it's perfectly all right for me to go on and start not only telling them about Jesus, but then talking to them about their sin. And so we want to be equipped. And so if you feel like you're ill-equipped, I want to make sure that you're here next Wednesday night. Come on the 23rd, the Tuesday night before. Our Kentucky Baptist Convention folks are going to be here, and we're hosting their Equip conference, and so there's room for you to come. And you can go online to KBC, you can look under Equip, and there's all sorts of different areas that they're going to be training people in. They're going to be here in every area of our building, all the way to our student building up front. And so you can come and help be equipped that night. We'll have our deacon's dinner before long, and we'll come together for a time of prayer and praying for our families and sharpening one another. And so if you feel ill-equipped, you need to see Brian or myself or Chris or Justin and say to us, I really need more help right in this area. I'm not for sure how to do this, or can you get me some information about that? Because it's our responsibility to make sure you're equipped to do what God wants you to do. And then B is be edified. He says, for the building up of the body of Christ, that building up is a word that we translate edify. It's the strengthening of the body of Christ. And so Spirit-filled service is characterized by ministry. We're willing to be equipped, and we are willing to be edified, to be encouraged, and to be used of the Lord to encourage others for the building up of the body of Christ. And if you say, listen to me, if you say, my service doesn't matter, nobody misses me when I don't show, that is not true. Every Monday, when Becky's here, we talk about that. Who's here, who's not? Do we have any holes that we need to get filled? Tell me, how was it yesterday in this area, this area, this area? We talk about that, and we miss people. So if you're an usher and you don't call and you miss, and Greg's needed you that day to run the cart or to hold his door or whatever, you miss them when they're not here, don't you, Greg? And here's the thing. You may think, it doesn't really matter. Anybody can hold the door. Well, if anybody could hold the door, anybody probably would be doing holding the door. Some don't want to hold the door. Some's got other responsibilities to do. Some don't want to get out there in the hot. Some don't want to drive that golf cart. And so that's really important. What you do is important. And then verse 13, he says, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, Spirit-filled service makes servants make themselves available to be equipped, to be edified, and to be educated, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Everything we do, we try hard to make sure the gospel's at the core of that. And we ask ourselves questions like, why are we doing life groups this way? Why do we do Sunday nights or Sunday mornings this way? Why do we do Upward? Why do we do Awana? Why are we doing that? We have to remind ourselves of why we do that. And the number one answer in all of those ministries is normally, we want to get the gospel right to the center of that. Be educated. Be enlarged, verse 13, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God calls us to be full of His Spirit and to serve Him. And that service is going to be characterized by ministry. And he says that Spirit-filled servants need to be growing, being mature in manhood to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our goal. We are trying to help, whether it's kids or senior adults or someone in between, grow in the maturity of knowing who Christ is and the fullness of Christ. And then E is be established, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children who are tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. We are called to be used of the Lord in Spirit-filled service to help not only mature people, but to establish them and root them and ground them in the truth. And then last but not least, number 4, Spirit-filled service is characterized by maturity. Verses 15 and 16. And let me work through that and we'll get out of here. He says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part, watch this, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Spirit-filled service is characterized by maturity. Servants who are faithful and last and they don't burn out in vocational ministry and volunteer ministry are people who are growing in their faith. And he says, be mature in your speech, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. We guard what we say. We think about what we say before we say it. we are considerate and kind as we speak the truth. And remember, and sometimes I'm the world's worst at this, we are not only called to speak the truth, the right platform, the right biblical understanding, but we're called to speak the truth in love. We are to not only say the right thing, but say it the right way. Does that make sense? And so in your ministry this coming year and in your Spirit-filled service, ask God, God, help me to be mature in the way that I speak and in the way that I speak and interact with others. Lord, help me to do that. Verse 16, when each part is working properly, be mature in your service. Every servant is important to God in his work. It takes every person serving in that giftedness the Lord has given them to make church ministry a glorious offering to Christ. And be determined to serve in excellence. Wake up early. Lay out your clothes. Yeah. You say, preacher, you don't do that stuff. I do. Tracy's raised our boys to do that stuff, right? Would you rather have a sleepy preteen or teenager on a Sunday morning trying to pick out their clothes and say, Mom, this needs to be ironed. I hate these pants. They're too short. I ain't got nothing to wear. Or would you rather do that on a Saturday night when they're wide awake? And there's all ways to do that. Hey, before we watch this movie, before we run to Dairy Queen, before we go to bed, hey, go lay out your clothes for in the morning. Before we go to bed, let's get together and pray together that tomorrow's going to be a great honoring day for Jesus, right? Prepare to serve in excellence in whatever way it is that God calls us to serve. Be mature in your service, and then be mature in your sensitivity. He says in verse 16, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now listen to this. The service you render in Jesus' name makes an eternal spiritual difference. And never underestimate the influence that you're having on others. And now listen, are you listening? If you are, say amen. Don't be so shallow to measure God's spiritual work by what you see physically or don't see physically. Thomas Reed preached at a little Wesleyan church in Chicago, and it was called Hillbilly Heaven. So the people that moved to this area of Chicago from the south all moved to a neighborhood of about 5 or 6 blocks. All the Polish people and Italian people, all the city people, called it Hillbilly Heaven. Because everybody, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Linda? Because everybody that lived there come from Kentucky or Tennessee or Alabama, somewhere, they moved there. And Thomas Reed was educated and polished, and he preached at this little Wesleyan church there. And that was one of the places my mom and dad would drag us at Easter and on Mother's Day and occasionally on Christmas. I can remember her saying, you're going to go over there to Brother Reed's church. You're going to get in that Christmas play. I want to see you in a Christmas play, right? And I can remember going in there. I didn't want to memorize that scripture. And, you know, you had to memorize those lines. You know, you're a donkey and you had to say, Eeyore, or, you know, whatever you had to do. And I just thought, I did not want to do this. Why is she making me do this? Brother Reed would come by every so often because my mom and dad were just, the only time we were there, I'm telling you, is Christmas, Easter, or Mother's Day. And he'd come by to make that visit, try to get the Shaw family to come. If he did, there was a bunch of us. But it was always to no avail. But when he would pull up, my mom would say, where's the Bible? And she had this big old table Bible. I mean, it's a cornerstone. And she'd be yelling, get the Bible, get the Bible. And we'd get the Bible. My dad, he'd be cussing, ba 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 ba. And she'd throw it out on this round table. My sister has a round table today. Brother Reed would come in. And I can remember Brother Reed always looking at me, and he would say, Randy, I'd like to share the gospel with you. And I'd say, you know, I'd listen a little bit. As soon as I could cut out, I would cut out. The night that I was saved, the time I got home, it was 9:30 at night. And I walked in the basement. I told my mom, I said, I've been saved. The Lord has forgiven me of my sin. I was 19 years old. She said something like, I thought you did that when you was a little kid, which I don't know where she got that from because I never did that. And I said, do you have Brother Reed's number? And she looked it up. I'm 19 years old. I call on him on a Thursday night from Edmonton. I said, Brother Reed, you do not remember me. My name's Randy Shaw. And I called calling to tell you I was saved tonight. Before I could get it out, he said, Randy, I remember you. Your dad was Claude. Your mom was Maxine. Your brother was Stuart. Your other brother was Barry. He said, I've wondered what's happened to y'all. I said, I've been in Kentucky, Brother Reed, since I was 15. And I said, I heard the gospel tonight and I was saved. And he rejoiced and prayed for me over the phone. Listen to what this guy said. He's in the twilight of his ministries. He's in heaven now. He said, I am so thankful for this phone call. He said, I wondered the many times that I've shared the gospel if it ever made a difference. And he said, I'm really grateful that it did. Y'all are here serving on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, and you're sharing the gospel, and you're investing in kids and teenagers and adults and senior adults, and we're meeting all the time, and we're doing all this stuff. And I know you think, does it make a difference? And I'm telling you, what God does in you makes an incredible difference. Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor dust nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want you to watch this closing video, and then I want us to spend a few minutes praying together, and then you can get your kids and get out of here. If you have questions for Brian and Chris, Justin, or myself, we'll be glad to hang around and answer them. Deacons, I know you're ready for our deacon meal and all of that, and the rotations. Becky's got the rotations done. As soon as we can finalize, we'll get with you, and then we'll have an ordination time on a Sunday morning. And so watch this video, and then let's pray together. Of the Shaw family, speaking as a dad now and a husband, not a pastor, thank you for making a difference. I was looking early this morning at the unpainted parts of my door frame in the office. And when we came here, and Mark was about this tall, and we're sending him off to college, and all the successive marks. And really, if I didn't want to put the boys on the spot, I could have them come in here. Our boys tell Tracy and I all the time of how grateful they are for the body of Christ here. They've heard us pray with you guys. They've watched you guys walk through incredible struggles and tragedies in your life. They've watched you guys rejoice in the birth of children and raising children. And you guys have made an indelible impression on our boys. Y'all got to share the gospel with them and love on them and challenge them. And we see a difference. We really do. And I want to say thank you for that. Just coming out of Bible school, our guys were just blown away. You know, we felt like it was one of the best Bible schools ever. How could it not be when Terry Shank puts on a 30-minute show that's better than what they had at the lake? And I mean, our guys have just been really blessed by you and your example. For all you who are having multiple children and you're being real biblical and being fruitful and multiply, I'm a little concerned how many grandchildren I'm going to have. But we were talking the other night, and Jacob said to Levi, don't y'all tell him, but Tracy, if you need to verify if this is true, talk to Tracy. Jacob said to Levi, well, Levi, you're going to be just like Caleb. You know, it's odd. We're receiving a daughter now into the home, and they're getting a sister they've never had. You're going to be just like Ruthie. 4 years, you're going to be graduating. You're going to be getting married. And Levi, he said, well, Jake, I may get married next year. He said, I may be like Nick and Brian and all them. I may start having kids next year. And so I wanted to say, oh, no, you're not. You know. But you guys have made a real difference. And if you say, well, preacher, all he did tonight was tell us how great we are. No, I'm telling you how great Jesus is and how great Jesus is in us and through us when we yield to him in spirit-filled service. Grab some people's hands and let's pray. And tonight I want to lead you and ask you to do two or three things. It doesn't matter where you're serving. What Steve does, cleaning carpets and sweeping and windows and emptying trash, is as important as what I do on Sunday morning preaching the gospel. And so I do not want you to think that what you do is not important. It's really important. And I want you to ask the Lord right now, Lord, give me energy to serve. Give me your spirit. Fill me with your spirit. God, tonight I'm laying things down. If there's unconfessed sin in your life, lay it down. If you're wavering between two positions and you're thinking, maybe you're on the edge of burnout and thinking, I'm quitting everything. It doesn't do any good. I want you to repent of that and reject that and say, oh God, you refresh my heart, renew me. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to run with passion. I want to run with the wind of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, allow your word to be real to me and alive to me. Allow it to be sharper than a two-edged sword. You be praying that and asking God that. Oh Lord, use me. Use my peers, my brothers and sisters in Christ in the same ministry area that we're in. Oh God, help us to serve you with excellence, and God, help us to serve faithfully. God, help us not to miss the whole reason that we serve. It's to bring glory and honor to you, because God, you served us. We're involved in missions because you're a missionary God. We're involved in gospel storying because God, you're the embodiment of the gospel. Lord, we're involved in attending church because you created the church, established it, you called us together. God, we serve in different ministries because, God, you and your disciples in the early church served in a multitude of different ministries. God, some preached and some taught and some waited tables, and some, God, served people who were poor and destitute, and, God, some cared for sick. And there's just all sorts of ways that, Lord, you've called us and have equipped us and are equipping us to serve you. And, Lord, our prayer is tonight that you would allow us to serve you, Lord, out of the abundance of your word and out of the abundance of your Holy Spirit. God, tonight, I want to thank you for these dear people. And Lord, I want to lead them in thanking you for other servants here who have served them, who've led them. I thank God of how I come in here Sunday after Sunday. I'm led in worship by Justin and these praise team members and these musicians and keyboardists and people that can do things that I couldn't do, Lord. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for people who have changed our boys' diapers and who have led our children and who have been a blessing, who have stood beside Tracy and I and served, and who have and served us in multiple, multiple ways. God, thank you for teaching us how to be generous, and God, teaching us how to serve. And Lord, we come before you, Lord, and asking this to be a real watershed moment for us here at Calvary as we embark on this new church year, and we Wednesday night start up. And Lord, we ask you to just do this great work on God's great day, and then what the series that we're going into after that, God's great purpose for us. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would just condition our hearts. Lord, help us to be surrendered. Help us to be full of your spirit. Help us to attach the dots, to connect the dots, that what we're doing is for your namesake, for your glory, for your kingdom. And so, God, I pray that you would encourage those who, Lord, are, to use that old the Bible word, downtrodden, those who are heavy, those who are under burden tonight. God, I pray you would ease their burden and lift that burden. God, I pray that you would encourage them and bless them. I pray tonight, God, that they would leave and say, that was such a profitable time. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to my heart and just giving us Ephesians 4. And so, God, we lay ourselves tonight at the altar before you. And God, we ask that you would teach us the immeasurable lesson of laying up, storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That God, our heart might be where you are. That you might be the center of our heart, the circumference of our life. That, Lord, everything that we breathe in and everything that we breathe out is your word and it's your grace. And God, that you would just have your way in our lives. God, for those people that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, whoever they are and however, whatever capacity they serve in, I pray, Lord, that they'll be able to listen to this online and be encouraged of the Lord. And then, God, in the upcoming weeks, as we try to equip people, whether it be for Awana or whether it be for Upward or whether it be trustees or stewardship team or anywhere in between, God, may we go forward carrying the gospel. Lord, I know every day is your day, but God, we pray tonight specifically for August 28th, God's great day. Lord, those seven great promises that we're going to attend worship and we're going to worship well, that God, we are going to sing with a surrendered heart, and God, we're going to serve our best, that God, we're going to attend life group and be an encouragement to those leaders. God, we're going to give. We're going to give of our tithes and our offerings on that day. Lord, we're going to invite somebody to come with us on that day. God, we're going to have prayed and attempted to memorize and understand your word for us on that day. And God, we're going to pray faithfully each and every day for not only the people that you're encouraging us to invite, but God, just how we come before you on that day and celebrate you. And so, God, you work. We commit our lives to you. We commit these dear people to you. We love them and thank you for them. And we ask that you bless them now deeply. And I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And you all said amen. Amen. Fellowship, I ran you late tonight. Fellowship, greet each other on the way out. If you have questions for Justin or Chris or Brian or myself, we'll be hanging around a few minutes. And so if not, we'll see you on Sunday morning.